In today's show, I'll be breaking down the latest Bitcoin technical analysis, as well as UFC fighter saying, hey, I want my 300,000 in bonus. Or in Bitcoin, his bonus, and that's what's up. So shout out to him. We're going to be discussing that. And let me know if you watched UFC 300 last night. It was pretty lit. We're also going to be discussing over 540,000 new crypto assets have been launched in the first 4 months of this year. That's right, over 500,000 altcoins. Craziness. We'll also be discussing Bitcoin's normal drop leads to 256 million and longs being liquidated. I'll be breaking down this latest analysis, as well as Rich Dad Robert Kiyosaki explains why he won't buy the Bitcoin ETF. We'll also be discussing Hong Kong ETFs. As you know, rumor has it this Monday, we can get the green light for the spot Bitcoin ETF, as well as the Ethereum ETF. However, they claim that Chinese funds cannot invest in these crypto products. I'll be breaking this down for you. We'll also be discussing, can Abu Dhabi be Mr. 100? They just purchased another 400 Bitcoin today. And according to Max Kaiser, Abu Dhabi is now the top contender. We'll also be discussing Bitcoin's trajectory to $1 million per coin. All this, plus so much more in today's show. Yo, what's good, crypto fam? This is first and foremost a video show. So if you want the full premium experience with video, visit my YouTube channel at cryptonewsalerts.net. Again, that's cryptonewsalerts.net. Today is pod episode number 1609. I'm your host, JV. It's April 14th, 2024. We're live and in the flesh. It's Bitcoin halving 2024 week. You got that right. This is a big week. So let's not waste any time. Let's dive right into our market watch. As you can see here, Bitcoin back up at about 65,000 at the time of the live stream. The entire market is back in the green, which we love to see after the bloodshed from the markets yesterday. You even got XRP up 7%, almost back at 50 cents. Solana up 12%, Near up 15%, and Ton up 16%. And checking out coinmarketcap.com, we're sitting at a 2.33 trillion market cap. Yesterday, I think we were at 2.2 trillion when we were live, so we gained a little bit of volume as well. 185 billion in volume for the past 24 hours, and the Bitcoin dominance is at 54.4%, with the Ether dominance at 15.9%. And checking out the top 100 crypto gainers for the past 24 hours, we got Wormhole up 33%. We have Tau up 30% and Celestia up 26%. Below that, Ajax, WIF, and ARB. Now, which alts in particular, crypto fam, are you most bullish on for this bull run? Holla at your boy. I appreciate it. And yeah, let's also check out the crypto bubbles to get a visual perspective on the day. As you can see, virtually yesterday, I'd say 99% of them were in the red. Well, today, 99% are in the green. The only one in the red is Jasmine. And I had to throw that out there because someone yesterday is like, Jasmine's up 2% when everything was down, you know, yesterday. So anyways, that's how the altcoin market works. And checking out on the monthly, we still got overall pretty substantial corrections across the crypto sphere. And checking out the Crypto Greed and Fear Index, wow, we're still maintaining greed. I knew we wouldn't be in extreme greed after the dump off yesterday, but still in greed at a 72. Yesterday was a 72, last week a 78, and last month an 83 in extreme greed. And the higher this number goes, the more likely of a pullback or a correction like we just witnessed. And checking out the Bitcoin halving countdown clock, we got 4 days and 19 hours until Bitcoin halving 2024, with the current estimated date scheduled to take place April 19th. Whoa, I'm going to actually pull up the calendar so I can see what day of the week the 19th is. The 19th is a Friday, so we may have the halving this Friday, or it may be on Satstack and Saturday, which I think would be pretty lit, pun intended, on 420. What are your thoughts? Friday, Saturday, when are you anticipating the halving? Clearly, it's not going to take place until we hit block height, 840,000. We're currently at 839,225 as displayed here on the time chain calendar. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, we're getting so close, 760 blocks away. And the current Bitcoin market cap sits at 1.27 trillion, and you can currently trade $1 for 1,554 sats, aka Satoshis. So there you have it, family. Well, now let's dive into our TA. Check out the charts of what's happening here in the market. So yeah, after staying range bound for a part of the week, Bitcoin plummeted April 12th and the 13th. The fall resulted in Bitcoin or crypto liquidations in general worth about $2.5 billion, with more than short liquidations. The fall has dealt a severe blow to the short-term leveraged long positions that expected the rally to continue leading up and after the Bitcoin halving. Bitcoin's fall has severely affected the alts, as you can see here, with some of the top 20 cryptos falling roughly 20%. But again, this was ultimately yesterday. Today we have, thank God, got back in the green, but nonetheless, we're still below 65. Although Bitcoin's fall has rattled the short-term traders, a positive sign, the price has not even broken below the crucial 60,000 support, which I would deem the line in the sand. So definitely a good sign that we maintain. This suggests the fall is a normal pullback in a bull case. Traders need to remain cautious, but there doesn't seem to be a reason for panic.
I agree there. Bitcoin price analysis. Bitcoin has been volatile, but range bound between 60,700 and 73,700 for many days now. This suggests indecision about the next directional move. So let me know, chat. Do you feel Bitcoin is likely to crack more, potentially retesting 60,000 support? Or do you think we just likely climb on up, considering we have a halving in 4 days and diving back into the 70,000 territory with 74,000 being the all-time high? Let me know. The Bitcoin / USDT pair slipped below the 50-day moving average, which is 66.7 on April 13th, plunging to 60,700. However, the long tail on the candlestick shows the bulls are defending that 60,700 level. Any recovery attempt is likely to face selling at the 20-day exponential moving average, which is 67,800. If the price turns down from this resistance, the bears will again attempt to sink the pair below 60,700, and alternatively, a break below the 20-day EMA will clear the path for a rally to 73,777. Price discovery mode ultimately entering the all-time high. Now, the downsloping EMA 20 and the relative strength index in the negative zone both indicate the bears are in command. The relief rally is likely to face selling at the 20 EMA. If the price turns down from the 20 EMA, the bears will have another go at 60,700. Support, ultimately a retest. If this level cracks, the pair may start a down move to the 61.8 Fibonacci retracement at 54,300. However, on the other hand, a rise above the 20 EMA will be the first sign that the pair may oscillate between 60,700 and 73,700 for some more time. The bulls will have to shove the price above 73.7 to indicate the start of the next leg of the uptrend to 80,000 and then to $84,000. Now for the breaking news. One of the UFC fighters who had a victorious, triumph in his fight. I don't know if I'm pronouncing the name right, but Renato Moicano, he says, hey, I want my 300,000 bonus in Bitcoin. He told the big boss that ultimately, now they were giving away $300,000 bonuses. That's why he was saying that. So he's ultimately telling Dana White, pay me in Bitcoin. So much respect. There's been other UFC fighters that, been very bullish on Bitcoin as well, such as the baddest man on the planet, Francis Ngannou, back when he was actually in the UFC. He's not currently in the UFC, but he was also doing things. He actually was at the Bitcoin conference in Miami as one of the guest speakers, along with Serena Williams, the tennis player and yada, yada, yada. I think that was a couple of years back in Miami. I remember seeing him there. But nonetheless, I think more and more athletes are going to demand to be paid in Bitcoin because they understand money. And that's his nickname, Money Moicano. And he ultimately was actually educating people during his victory speech with Joe Rogan. If you missed it, check it out. He's teaching people about money and ultimately the importance of Bitcoin, but he didn't necessarily speak the word Bitcoin, but he was telling you about, the money system and some recommended reads and stuff like that. So respect. I think more and more athletes are going to follow his suit. Let's get right into it. Next story of the day, family. Welcome everyone joining the stream. Let's discuss over 500,000 new ish coins minted thus far this year in 4 months. Check this out, yo. More than 500,000 altcoins have already been created between January and April this year, according to crypto data aggregator CoinGecko. Using data from the DEX tracker Gecko Terminal, CoinGecko examined the number of cryptos from December 31st, 2021 to April 11th, 2024. The result shows 2.5 million cryptocurrencies have been launched to date, including transient meme coins and dead projects. Yeah, whatever happened to that BitConnect coin? Wasn't BitConnect like a top 10 coin or top 5 coin at one point? I recall that in 2017. Mind-boggling. Where'd it go? The current number of crypto assets is also 5.7 times more than the 440,000 that existed at the end of 2021. The period between January 1st and April 11th this year saw the rollout of 540,000 new tokens, equivalent to an average of 5,300 new tokens being launched every day thus far this year. In comparison, 2022 recorded 720,000 new tokens, and in 2023, 830,000. So each year we get more and more. So quoting the report, given that this is already more than half of the 0.83 million new tokens launched last year, 2024 is on track to surpass 2023 in the number of new tokens on chain. I'm not surprised, mother. Anyways, CoinGecko says the meme coin season, which returned in late February this year, led to a record high 195,000 new tokens launched in March. That's 1 month. This highlights the frenzy of meme coin activity as opportunistic participants launch derivatives of meme coins or themes that are already popular. That's right. Rinse and repeat. January and February 2024 also saw a large number of new tokens launched in each month, 134,000 and 195,000, respectively. This perhaps suggests that on-chain speculative activity is on the rise, regardless of broader rotations into the meme coins. CoinGecko says the future meme coin season may see a greater spike in new crypto assets because of the new tools that make token creation easier and the decreasing costs of on-chain trading. So there you have it, yo. Definitely no shortage of cryptocurrencies to invest in, aka ish coins, but that's the nature of the beast. Let me know your thoughts on that. We'll probably have a few new million coins every year and eventually have hundreds of millions of cryptos, unless Gary Gensler actually did something to truly stop it, in which I don't think he ever will. I think he'll just continue suing the largest projects and exchanges and shaking them down and taking that money to continue to rinse and repeat until eventually the SEC is sued again for the 100th time and they lose again for the 100th time and Congress actually does something about it and replaces Gensler with maybe someone like Crypto Mom or somebody that is in, favor of crypto, not trying to destroy it and stifle it's innovation. But hey, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but let's keep it a moving. I still got a lot to share with y'all. So let's discuss these liquidations in the market. Bitcoin's normal drop leads to 256 million of longs liquidated. That's right. Let's just dive right into it here. Quoting analyst Benjamin Cohen, chaos is good for Bitcoin. Actually, that's something Michael Saylor declared. Shout out to Saylor. Meanwhile, synonymous trader Rec Capital believes the price of Bitcoin will resume its uptrend, although not before experiencing a short-term pain. Quoting him here, Bitcoin will retrace deep enough to convince you that the bull market is over. April 13th, Bitcoin's price plummeted, as we know, we just discovered, 60,900-ish before finding support, but we're back at roughly 65,000 at the time of this recording. But according to CoinGlass, we had 256 million of long positions and 62 million from short positions liquidated. Traders seem to be bracing for further downside, and if Bitcoin's price were to revert to the price level of 67,000 just 24 hours ago, short positions totaling 1 billion would face liquidation. Good Lord. And although the entire crypto market experienced widespread pain as 945 million was liquidated from 253,000 traders, let me know if you're one of the 253,000 traders over the last 24 hours. Now, we just shared the crypto greed and fear index just went back down to greed to 72, as I shared earlier. The global crypto market cap has also taken an 8% hit, dropping down to 2.2 trillion. Now, meanwhile, demand from permanent hodlers has exceeded the market supply of the new Bitcoin for the first time. According to data shared by CryptoQuant, this indicates that the amount of the new Bitcoin produced by mining is insufficient to meet the crypto investors' demands, and the scarcity will only grow further after the Bitcoin halving scheduled to take place potentially this Friday or Saturday on 420. Holla at your boy. Let's dive into the latest from Rich Dad Robert Kiyosaki. He says, or he explains why he won't buy the Bitcoin ETF. I'm curious if any of you have any exposure currently to it. Let me know. He wrote on X, will you buy the Bitcoin ETF? And then he answered his own question. Oh, ain't that great when you could ask yourself the question? I love it. No, just as I own gold and silver coins and mines and own apartment houses, I do not own gold or silver ETFs or REITs, real estate ETFs. Now, I can explain why he says that, because he doesn't trust the government. So why would he store his wealth in an ETF, which can easily be confiscated at any time by the government if they truly wanted to take it from him? And that's all you need to know. Self-custodied Bitcoin is unconfiscatable. You know what I mean? Quoting him here. ETFs are best for people and institutions. Personally, I am an entrepreneur and I prefer to stay away from Wall Street's financial products as possible, he added. Packaging my own financial products is best for me because packaging my own securities requires me to be smarter than most ETF buyers. It is what is best for me. And if I effed up, I have no one to blame but me. The more important question is, what's best for you? And shout out to Steve Kingston. I appreciate you joining as a member of the HODL gang. Despite his current stance against spot Bitcoin ETFs, Rich Dad previously advocated for them as an alternative for investors hesitant to buy actual Bitcoin. And recently we had O'Leary, aka Mr. Not So Wonderful, also reiterated his view that he will not buy a spot Bitcoin ETF. Quoting him here, I would never do that. Why would I pay the fees? There is no added value to an ETF. I just own the coin directly, he emphasized. Now, I typically don't agree with Mr. Not So Wonderful, but for this sentiment, I agree 100%. I mean, there's nothing greater than owning your own private keys, not your coins, meaning not your keys, not your cheese, fool. Now, Rich Dad calls himself a Bitcoin bull. He revealed this week that he believes the Bitcoin price will reach 2.3 million, which we covered here on the pod, citing a prediction by ARK Invest's Kathy Wood. And last week, he responded to a prediction by economist Harry Dent, stating the price of Bitcoin can crash to $200. Now, I don't know why he would even say that, but anyways, if Bitcoin drops to $200 per coin, I will buy as many coins as I can, he affirmed. Now, I'll reiterate, if Bitcoin dropped to 20,000 per coin, I'd like to believe all the smart money people like Rich Dad would buy as much as he could. So 200 is just like a crazy exaggeration, maybe to make a point that if it does go down, I'm just going to buy it all up. So be it. Anyways, the renowned author has also intensified his advice for investors to ditch the US dollar and buy Bitcoin alongside gold and silver. He views Bitcoin as the perfect asset at the right time while calling the US dollar a giant Ponzi scheme, in which it is. Kudos to that. Now, earlier, Kiyosaki predicted that the price of Bitcoin would hit 100,000 by September. Let me know if you agree. Emphasizing the importance of the Bitcoin halving and also say Bitcoin is headed to $300,000. Per coin. Now, isn't that a little crazy of a contrast? If it goes to $200, I'm buying all I can. I expect Bitcoin to hit 100,000 by September and 300,000 by the end of the year. So, yeah, you already know. Let me know your thoughts on Rich Dad's perspective. Now, I agree with most of everything that Kiyosaki has to say, only I'm not into the precious metals. Precious metals are manipulated. He's been a longtime precious metal advocate, as we all know, way back from when I first learned about Kiyosaki as a young man, like 25, 30 years ago. He's been pushing precious metals. And if cryptocurrency, such as Bitcoin, was non-existent, I'd understand. And I would agree with a lot of his logic because you don't trust the Fed, buck the Fed. You know what I mean? You don't trust the tulip bulb fiat money monopoly scheme. You know what I mean? And I don't blame them. But at the end of the day, comparing Bitcoin to precious metals, I think is crazy. I'd rather be all in on Bitcoin. But then you get the argument, don't you want to diversify your assets? No, I don't want to diversify with assets that can be confiscated from me. That's just me. That's JV. That's why I rep the B. You already know. But anyways, fam, next story of the day, let's discuss the ETFs coming out of China. This is big news because it's only a few hours away. We could get that green light. So let's break it down. Bitcoin and Ether spot ETFs are set to receive the final approvals in Hong Kong as early as Monday, which is already today in Hong Kong. You know what I mean? According to a recent Matrixport report, these investment products could unlock up to 25 billion in demand from Chinese investors through the Southbound Stock Connect program. However, Latest revelations and clarifications from several issuers found Matrixport's report to be false. Oh no. So in a recent post on X, crypto journalist Colin Wu revealed the southbound funds from mainland China are not allowed to invest in crypto ETFs listed in Hong Kong. That would mean all of the money inside of the mainland could not go into the Hong Kong ETF. This contradicts previous reports forecasting substantial capital inflows from mainland Chinese investors into the investment vehicles. Now, Singapore-based crypto services provider Matrixport shared the following in their report. A likely approval of Hong Kong-listed Bitcoin spot ETFs could attract several billion dollars of capital as mainland investors take advantage of the Southbound Connect program, which facilitates up to 500 billion renminbi, which is roughly 70 billion USD per year in transactions. Typically, the Southbound Stock Connect enables qualified mainland China investors to access eligible Hong Kong listed shares. However, this does not include crypto investment products such as the spot Bitcoin ETF and Ethereum exchange-traded funds, as outlined here from Wu Blockchain. So this restriction is due to the mainland China's strict measures and regulations on the use of cryptos and investments in crypto products. While mainland China maintain its conservative stance on digital assets, Hong Kong continue to position itself as a pivotal hub in the Asian crypto market. And as reported, Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, the SFC, is now in the final stages of approving and trading of Bitcoin and Ether ETFs in the special administrative region. The rollout of these products was expected to pull significant fresh capital, not only from Hong Kongers, but also from mainland China. For example, money out of Shanghai, which I believe is the financial capital in mainland China, places like Beijing, and the list goes on. The launch of similar Bitcoin ETFs in the US earlier in January painted a positive picture of significant capital inflows, which continues crushing it. In fact, the success of these investment vehicles has been associated with the current bullishness of Bitcoin, the largest crypto by market cap. However, the latest clarification from ETF issuers sparked the need for a reassessment of the market expectations from the launch of these crypto investment products in Hong Kong. Investors anticipating significant market participation might want to reevaluate their positions. Well, here's the big picture. We don't know. So we'll soon find out. Was it just a rumor that mainland China could also, you know, be a big investor in all of this? Or do you think it is exclusive for money out of Hong Kong, which would be way more limited? I'd love to know your thoughts. And do you think investors in other countries in Asia, such as, what are some of the big ones? Malaysia, Singapore, they got a lot of money, right? Could they, or maybe even Japan, are they able to invest in the Hong Kong ETF? These are questions I guess we need to find out. So who knows? We'll soon find out and I'll keep you posted. Hopefully we get big news tomorrow and it pumps the market. But you never know. We'll soon find out. Now let's dive into our featured story of the day. Discuss this $1 million Bitcoin price prediction in Abu Dhabi, the UAE. Is that Mr. 100? Well, according to Max Kaiser, it is. So let's break this down. First and foremost, note, they just bought another 400 Bitcoin today. That's right. Mr. 100, check out the balances, receipts. Don't lie. They've been going ham stacking these sats. Look how much Bitcoin they currently have. Good Lord. Does that say 59,419 Bitcoin? It does. And it's mind-boggling at the rate they're continuing to accumulate. Hence, it started off 100 a day. Now they're buying as much as 400 per day. We've even seen days that they're stacking even more Bitcoin. Look, 100. Another 103, 105, 101, 106, 101, 101. They just keep stacking them biddies. So the question becomes, who is it? Speculation, it could be Abu Dhabi, which is the capital city in the UAE. Well, according to Max, this was back on April 10th. Here we go. It showed you they now own 59,000 Bitcoin. And then initially, Max posted the flag of Qatar because there's a lot of speculation of Qatar buying some biddies right now or transferring their sovereign wealth fund into Bitcoin. And so Max just put, just got some new intel. Abu Dhabi is now the top contender, which ultimately means, the way I translate it, that it's most likely, according to his intel and insiders, that it's Abu Dhabi purchasing all this Bitcoin. If not Abu Dhabi, then it's likely to be Qatar. What are your thoughts on that, family? Do let me know. Also, more recently, March 8th, Max tweeted, got 411,000 views. The speculative attack is just getting started. Michael Saylor, Bukele, and the Saudis are all in. 220,000 in play, and so is $1 million per biddy. And he was actually also quoting this article from Forbes, flashing red warning, $33 trillion U.S. debt death spiral could suddenly trigger a Bitcoin price vicious cycle, which this headline reads. I'm going to get into that story and some of Max's more predictions, but I want to share a couple of more tweets before we dive that in. He also tweeted off the back of this news, which was all the way back December 7, 2023. Iran's president arrives in Moscow, Russia to meet Putin, just one day after Russian leader met Saudi leader MBS. Max retweeted and wrote, Russia, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and Iran will start doing deals in Bitcoin. Qatar knows this and is pulling the trigger on a huge Bitcoin buy for their sovereign wealth fund. Now, if you've watched some of my previous episodes from a few months back, I was the one breaking the news that there's a sovereign wealth fund allegedly in Qatar that holds roughly $500 billion, which means what is that? 500 billion. Now, this was according to Max, and I've been covering this news because he says he heard that they're looking to convert it all into Bitcoin, which kind of sparked all of this excitement in the market from that region. And also, there was breaking news back in December of 2023. The world's largest oil company, Saudi Aramco, partners with Japanese finance giant SBI Holdings to explore investing in digital assets. Now, he wrote translation. This is what Max wrote. The KSA, which means the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and Qatar, are about to drop $1 trillion into Bitcoin. I repeat, $1 trillion into biddies. So let me know your thoughts on some of that. And do you feel this Mr. 100 can likely be Saudi Arabia or, you know, Abu Dhabi or Qatar? I want to know your thoughts. Or do you even think it's not a nation state? The rumor has it, it's an undisclosed nation state. Also want to point out that Edward Snowden, the whistleblower, a few weeks ago, which I also covered on the pod, he made a tweet saying that there is a nation secretly purchasing Bitcoin behind the scenes, and they will make the announcement later this year, which leads me to believe maybe Mr. 100 truly is one of these undisclosed nation states. But I want to know your thoughts, because there's also speculation. It could be Jeff Bezos, Mark, what is his name? Zuckerberg, whatever his name is, the Facebook guy. So I want to know your thoughts on that. But let's get more into the flesh with what Max Geiser had to share that is quoted here in this particular article. I'm going to get right into the Max Geiser stuff. Here we go. Raising rates won't stop inflation. It'll stoke higher inflation, says Max. The vicious circle is unrelenting. We have entered a death debt spiral, he said, adding he expects everything to go to zero against Bitcoin. 10-2 update. The Bitcoin price skyrocketed higher as traders cheer a deal to avert a U.S. government shutdown, driving the wider Ethereum price and crypto market higher. Crypto has a spring in its step at the start of the month, which has already been given the moniker October, head of money and markets at the brokerage Hargreaves Lansdowne said. So this is some person named Susanneth Streeter, speculating is swirling that speculation. Given past performance, there would be a positive few weeks ahead of us for coins and tokens, yada, yada, yada. And then we had Jamie Dimon saying prepare for a worst case Fed scenario and yada, yada, yada. But anyways, long story short, I want to know your thoughts with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Abu Dhabi, getting into Bitcoin, along with potentially Iran, Russia. Holla, and let me know who you think this Mr. 100 is in the chat. I'm going to read all of your comments out loud. Now, I think many of these nations may potentially be purchasing Bitcoin right now. Why is that? Because the time it is pre-halving, and number two, nobody wants to be last, right? Everyone wants to kind of front run one another. Just like when BlackRock launched their ETF, there were, what, 9 or 10 other ETF issuers at the same time. When Hong Kong launches their ETF, it's not going to be just one player. It could be 4, 5 or more. We don't know yet. We'll soon find out, because this is what we call the game theory. And now we have Bitcoin ETFs about to be launched from other countries such as Hong Kong, El Salvador. I even heard Australia. So this is it. Competition is a beautiful thing, and the way that works, they make it very competitive because they all are competing for that same slice of the pie. For example, all the major asset managers right now, they're all lowering their rates and giving special premiums. Shout out to the Golden Eagle. Appreciate the sub. Because, for example, they did something like zero fees until we reach so many billions of dollars. And Grayscale, GBTC, said we're going to put the highest price at 1.5%. You know, like an annual fee to manage your funds. And then ARK and, you know, iBit, BlackRock, they're like, we can do 0.2% or 0.15%. So this is the game theory playing out because they're all competing for that same slice of the pie. And now we have nation states fighting for that slice of the pie, but they're doing it discreet because if they made a big announcement, just think of that. What are the ramifications from announcing, hey, we're planning on buying, you know, $100 billion worth of Bitcoin? Bitcoin would just skyrocket off of the news. So there is a lot of speculation. There's a lot of words behind the scenes and a lot of talk, and that's what's probably playing out right now. But for all we know, there could be a multitude of countries all competing to buy Bitcoin and just haven't announced it yet. And they're trying to get these biddies at the cheapest price they possibly can. Now, what if you're a country and you own no Bitcoin, and Bitcoin continues to do what it does best, go up, numbers go up every halving drastically, right? And Bitcoin continues averaging 200% per year, even in the bear years, right? Then they're going to get left behind. Like the US government, don't get it twisted. They own a lot of Bitcoin, right? More indirectly through confiscation and criminals hacking the exchanges and them confiscating it from the criminals and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Like Silk Road would be an example, the Silk Road hack, and other hacks, you know, Ponzi schemes and such like that. But the bigger picture I'm looking at is there's such a very limited supply of biddies in the market right now, and it's about to get even scarcer. We're about to go from 900 Bitcoin being issued per day to 450. And when you have massive demand from the ETFs alone, only the ETF institutional FOMO is going to make Bitcoin run out on the exchanges more than likely within the next year. And that's according to CryptoQuant, top crypto analytics platform. We've already had the demand shock via the Bitcoin ETFs. We witnessed that this year in the past 90 days. Do you know BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, already holds 270,000 Bitcoins? And they accomplished that in 3 months. Then we have Fidelity, a $4.5 trillion asset manager. You have Vanguard. And now you're thinking, but Vanguard, they're anti-Bitcoin. They won't allow their customers to touch it. It's against their ethos. Well, guess what? The CEO is stepping down. And at the same time, guess who is the number one primary shareholder of MicroStrategy, which was the first publicly traded company to put the biddies on the balance sheet, right? Founded by Saylor. It's Vanguard. Number one, shareholder in MicroStrategy, Vanguard. Number two, BlackRock. They have their hands in everything. So don't get it twisted. And why do I bring that up? Because I personally feel all of the smart countries right now are accumulating Bitcoin, if not directly, then indirectly. Indirect methods through maybe stocks, you know what I mean? Bitcoin mining stocks. MicroStrategy, just like Vanguard has indirect exposure to Bitcoin, right? There's so many ways. Mining, places like country, creating a Bitcoin mining hub in Ethiopia. You know, are your eyes open? So you already know it's playing out in real time. So things are about to get very lit. As you know, this week, we're likely to have the Bitcoin halving at block. You know what I mean, as we shared earlier, what is it? 840,000 or whatever it is. Shout out to DJN. I appreciate you subscribing to the number one daily Bitcoin pod, but I want to know your thoughts. First and foremost, who is this Mr. 100? Is it a nation secretly buying biddies? And if so, could it be Qatar? Could it be Abu Dhabi, or could it be a country we don't even, not even on our radar? I want to know your thoughts. And what are your thoughts about Bitcoin smashing 220,000 and hitting $1 million per coin? When do you feel that is likely, right? Do you think it'll happen potentially this cycle, like Samson Mao believes? Do you think it can happen by next cycle, the 2028 Bitcoin halving, which is the halving preceding 2024 halving next week? And also, I got to point one more thing out. What makes this particular cycle so much different, besides the institutional FOMO, which is obvious, is Bitcoin for the first time in history surpassed the previous all-time high pre-halving, right? For the first time. Three previous cycles, we always
broke the previous all-time high post-halving. We've already broken it. Could it be a super cycle? Is this what hyper-Bitcoinization looks like? What would happen if the dollar truly hyperinflated through infinity, like what's happening with the Brazil real or the Argentine peso or in these other countries around the world? I want to know your thoughts, because clearly Bitcoin is a hedge against deflation. It's a hedge against inflation. It's an insurance policy. It's a flight to safety. It's a flight to quality. It's incorruptible, it's unconfiscatable, it's un-F-wittable, and it's something you should be stacking, especially considering we're going to have a CBDC rollout. Let's not forget the plans from the powers that be, the money creators, the money gods. They're planning on making a cashless society. I know that's no secret. Not many people even using cash already as it is. I mean, can I get an amen? Everyone uses digital forms of cash, you know, credit cards, debit cards, etc. Not many people even use coins anymore. Well, they're looking to get rid of the dollar altogether and usher in a central bank digital currency. That's the plan from the central bankers and the elite that control the world and control the money. Those who print the money control the world. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but here we go. Bitcoin is the antidote to those CBDCs. CBDCs is programmable money. What can go wrong if the central bankers and the state program our money with an expiration date? What if it was attached to a social credit score, right? Talk about how fast things can go south, right? What if you didn't spend your fiat CBDC, which is digital fiat, digital tulip bulb monopoly money? What if you didn't spend it within a year? Right? Then it expires. And now no one is incentivized to save. Nobody wants to save because saving equals poor. What did Michael Saylor once say? Those who use fiat currency as a store of value. What do we call them, folks? Let me know in the live chat. This one's for y'all.
But like most of the people who are buying assets at some point want to sell the assets at a profit.
Not on this channel, dog. Just saying.
People that use fiat currency
as a store of value and gold. I'm going to throw gold in there.
As a store of value, we call them poor.
I mean, after all, they say gold is the poor man's Bitcoin. Sorry, Peter Shifty. And shout out to everyone in the live chat. And don't forget to check out CryptoNewsAlerts.net for the full premium experience with video and to participate in our live Q&A. And I look forward to seeing you on tomorrow's episode. HODL.